Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
Dopamine. Written by Ben Errington. Narrated by Harry Dobby. A man once called me morally bankrupt. The two words were in the middle of a particularly venomous email that was riddled with spelling errors and rationale that could only come from a person who had always got exactly what he wanted from women, either using manipulation or violence, or a combination of the two. Through reading his furious message that was packed together without the thought or care for grammar or punctuation, I felt that I could learn more from him than I ever could from any of my other so-called fans. I became fascinated by the idea of being morally bankrupt, and wondered if, in his eyes at least, I could ever get out of the red and back into the black. Somehow earn back his respect so I'd return to being a goddess, or angel, or vision of perfection. Was it just my looks and ability to please him that granted me those morals? As the years had passed and my body had become less toned and tanned, the body shamers and lonely masturbators were the ones who reduced me to a whore, somebody who wallowed at the bottom of society and didn't deserve a chance of happiness or retribution. Or at least that was the opinion of the fuckers with superiority complexes that thought their dead-end jobs were more valid than mine. Hey, it's me that pays you for sex, so I must be better than you. That was the abysmal attitude that I'd been made to put up with for years as I made my living in the sex industry. I'd done some naked modelling that eventually turned into solo stuff that led me down the inevitable road of pornography. I wasn't chewed up and spit out by the business as many girls my age had been, and although I had met some unsavoury characters and had some fairly unpleasant experiences, on a whole my time as an adult actress had been, for the most part, enjoyable. I'd been lucky enough to meet some very talented and interesting individuals, as well as an ex-husband or two. Now, I was escorting, and although this was seen as the seedier underbelly of the industry, I was using my vast array of skills I'd amassed over my years in skin flicks to make a shit ton of cash doing things I didn't find half as repulsive as I thought I would have. I was now so much more than I had been reduced to. I was nothing but a hooker in some people's eyes, of course, including the author of this insidious email. But something happened to me merely months ago that gave me a strength I could only have imagined I would even come close to harbouring. A chance meeting with a mysterious stranger and the indulgence of various Class A drugs had put me in a coma, to which I recovered from miraculously when I came round. I had no next of kin or family I would waste my time bothering, so I was left to claw my way back to reality all alone. I couldn't reach the stranger to ask about the wounds on my inner thighs, the deep gashes that had been infected 1 minute and almost completely healed the next. The doctors had no answers for me, and to be fair, I didn't need them. I knew I had been changed for the better. I didn't know how the wounds had appeared, but I knew what they meant. I had been chosen. It only took me a couple of transformations before I was able to control my actions while in a different form. I had expected it to happen when there was a full moon, as all literature and cinema had convinced me, but I could pick and choose as to when I became the beast, as long as there was a bloodlust growling in my stomach. Although it wasn't half as painful as I had expected it to be when the stranger had explained exactly what my body would be doing as it changed from a slender human form to that of a werewolf. "Is that David?" I asked, my voice delicate and silken. "Yes. Who's this?" the voice questioned, irritated. "It's Jasmine. I received your email." There were a few seconds of silence as the cogs in David's mind whirred. "Oh, right," he said, shocked to be hearing from me. "I didn't expect you to call." "I just wanted to apologize," I lied. "I know we had fun and our encounter didn't end exactly how I expected. I'm sorry about that." He was silent again.
That's quite all right," he said.
Strange how well-spoken he sounded over the phone in comparison to the vitriol he had spouted over a computer. "I was wondering if there was any way I could make it up to you," I asked, biting my lip.
"I assumed you didn't want to see me again," he said.
He sounded quite disheartened. "Quite the contrary. I was disappointed by your email as I thought we had a connection." More silence. I was certainly getting under his skin.
I thought so too," he said, his voice growing quiet.
"Look, I'm staying at a luxury apartment near the river. It's magnificent, really it is. It has a jacuzzi. Would you be interested in joining me this evening?" Yet more silence, but I could tell it was disbelief.
"Yes, yes, of course."
I inhaled deeply. "Wonderful," I said. "I've got your details, so I will email you over my address. And David, there's no charge for tonight. This is for fun, not business." He was breathing heavily and his voice wobbled as he spoke the next words.
"Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you so much."
I put the phone down without another word. That evening, David arrived at the time agreed, bringing flowers and a bitter stench of some cheap aftershave into the apartment. His black hair was slicked to his head, and he'd even taken the time to shave his face, which was bearded the last time we had met. He'd clearly had difficulty with it too. A small squares of blood-flecked tissue paper remained stuck to his skin. There was small talk and faux flirtation, for me at least. His flirtation was so putrid I could have snapped his neck. And although I wanted to ask him outright about his ignorant email, I managed to avoid it. I hadn't invited here to teach him a lesson about his moral code. I had invited him here to give him the time of his life. I watched the pathetic, sagged skin of his scrotum bob up and down in the bubbling water of the jacuzzi while we shared a bottle of champagne. One I was saving, in fact, but had decided that tonight was enough of a special occasion to crack it open, which he sipped at like a fussy cat would lap at a bowl of milk. It was strange, because the first time we had met and indulged similarly, I didn't find him quite as repulsive. Strange how an opinion of somebody can change so drastically when even a hint of their true colours are shown. I was taking my time, but I was keen to move the action to the bedroom. He was over the moon at merely the suggestion of that, bouncing onto the bed like a horny teenager. "You're so naughty, David," I teased. He was beaming as I took off my bikini, and his eyes moved up and down my body, his tongue almost hanging out of his mouth like a hungry dog. I pushed him back onto the bed, kissing him all over his neck and on his torso, which was way too hairy for my liking. He placed a stern hand on the back of my head and began to push me towards his penis, which bent on an odd angle as it started to grow erect. I moved down to his inner thigh, flicking my tongue over his skin like a lizard. His eyes were now closed and he was moaning. I felt bile rise up in the back of my throat. The darkness was beginning to take hold, and my brain was feeling crushed by my skull as it began to change shape, the muscle and sinew of my face stretching into a snout. It didn't hurt. I just felt an unknown pressure surround me as my bones snapped, popped, and contorted. There was a groaning coming from within, a hunger that gurgled in my stomach, my organs some of the only parts of me that weren't being subjected to an inhuman transformation. My skin began to shrink like melting plastic and my limbs elongated, my fingers stretching out and greying claws appearing where my perfectly manicured fingernails had been. I could slow or speed up the change at will, and as David's eyes were still closed, my tongue began lapping over his legs, glutinous saliva pooling all over him. I decided to embrace the transformation. My vertebrae clicked as my spine lengthened and my skin flecked with hot sweat as dark, coarse hair began to cover my breasts and shoulders. David's eyes were wide now and he was screaming at the top of his lungs, his voice pathetic and shrill. I tried to tell him to be quiet, but a low growl came out from my mouth, which was filling with sharp teeth that felt odd and protruded from my thinning lips. He scrambled backwards away from me as I reached out for him, my claws shredding the sheets. His desperate feet were kicking out as I tore into his legs, sinking my teeth deep into his flesh. His screams were now just white noise as all that was recognizable of my human form vanished. I was at one with the beast. The door behind me was kicked inwards, and on instinct I leapt forwards, spinning around as I did so. I moved backwards up the wall with eerie speed as a flash of white light blinded me, a guttural roar emitting from my throat. The mysterious stranger was standing in the doorway, holding some strange weapon of cold blue light. It had all but blinded me. It was so difficult to make out exactly what it was, but it was a blade of sorts that dazzled with shapes that looked like ancient runes. I tried to jump towards him. If I could knock the weapon out of his hands, perhaps my vision would return and I'd be able to make my escape. However, I couldn't move a muscle, and the transformation process was reversing. I had not usually been conscious for this, as I would usually pass out after roaming the streets and rooftops in the dead of night, searching for a poor soul to rip to bloody shreds. David was trying to climb out of the window, streaking blood all over the wall and glass. The idiot must have forgotten we were on the third floor, and jumping would mean shattered ankles at the very least. I suppose that's what fear did to the weak. I was pinned in the corner of the room, my neck pressed against the paintwork of the ceiling as I felt my softened bones bend back into shape. My human voice was calling out between layers of animal shrieks that sounded terrifying even to my knowing ears. "Why?" I asked. "You've abused this gift," the stranger said, the form of his face blurred by pulsating light. My eyes rolled into the back of my head as my lifeless body fell onto the carpeted floor below, my skull bouncing on the ground like a ball. Nude and sweating, I looked up at my tormentor for the last time before the cold ice of a blade took my head from my shoulders with a clinical swipe. I had recognized my murderer in this final instance, and I would have thanked him for his courtesy, if given the chance.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Other Stories. Dopamine, written by Ben Errington, narrated by Harry Dobby, edited by Carla Hughes, and music by Pipe Choir Records and Tom Robson. You have one more week. We're giving away 5 signed copies of The Other Stories, Volumes 10 to 12 collection. So if you want to be in the chance to win, head over to www.hawkandcleaver.com/competition, answer the questions, and leave your contact email address. As always, a massive thank you to our patrons over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver, and a big welcome to Lana Dennis. Thank you so much. If you're thinking about joining the party, head over to patreon.com/hawkandcleaver and pledge from as little as £1. Until next time.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.